In Australia, it's estimated that one in four women and one in 14 men have experienced some sort of violence from an intimate partner. And we know this is a horrendous problem, yet the response is still so often, why didn't they just leave? Well, the reality is much more complicated than just walking out the door. Many victim survivors feel tied to their perpetrators through love or control or isolation. And even if you decide you do want to escape, the process of separation can be logistically challenging and extremely dangerous. So what does it actually take to leave an abusive relationship if you want out? And how hard is it to gather the resources you need to escape? Well, you're about to hear from a woman who has been sharing her own experience of leaving an abusive marriage. She's been doing it in a really creative way, but I do want to give you a heads up that this conversation is going to be heavy. If you're in need of help, you can reach out to 1-800-RESPECT, 1-800-737-732, or Full Stop Australia on 1-800-385-578. With me is Dr. Ruth, a US-based survivor of abuse who has been documenting her own experience of leaving a violent relationship, retelling it in real time over the past 6 months. Ruth, thank you so much for joining me on Life Matters.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Ruth, it's been 3 years now since you left the abusive marriage you were in, and about a year ago, you started talking about it on social media. Why did you decide to share your experience this way?
I started sharing my experience this way because for me, my marriage and particularly the escape from my marriage were very traumatic, very overwhelming experiences. And they were something I was dwelling on to the extent that it was interfering with my life. And I felt like if I could share what I'd been going through and what was on my mind, maybe I could process it and fully let it go. I didn't really expect it to reach as many people and connect with as many people as it did, but it has, at the end of the day, been a very healing way for me to process it.
You've gone really public with it. You're sharing it on social media. You're calling this series Escape Plan. Can you just explain the concept?
Yeah. So I decided to share step by step exactly what it took for me to get out of my abusive marriage. And I also decided to share it in real time. And I did that for a couple of reasons. And the first and foremost is that it's really difficult to get out of an abusive situation. And there is so much more that goes into it than you know if you haven't been in it. But the other reason is this, it's a very heavy thing for me to share and a very traumatic thing for me to dive into sometimes. And being able to share it in real time gives me a little bit of time between steps to process and make sure that mentally I am okay.
Yeah. How have you gone with that? Have you sort of ever gone, I wish I hadn't started this public sharing?
There's never been a point where I wished I hadn't started it. There's been some points where I had to take breaks and had to invoke a little bit of self-care after videos because certain things hit harder than I expected them to. And it'll be the weirdest things. I'll share what I think is a really traumatic moment and I'll be fine afterward. And then I'll share something that I think is pretty inconsequential and I'll realize that it really mentally hit me.
Can you tell me about the moment where you realized that you needed to formulate an escape plan and leave your relationship?
Absolutely. About 9 years into our marriage, there was a series of 4 days where my husband was getting increasingly more aggressive, angry, irritable with me. And at the end of those 4 days, he picked up a knife off of our kitchen counter that I just cleaned and he pointed it at me. And in that moment, I knew I had to leave because he had been violent with me before. He'd even been physically violent with me before, but he'd never picked up a weapon. And that moment that he did, I realized that he was capable of really hurting me in a way that I never knew. And I knew I had to get out.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Dr. Ruth, a survivor of abuse based in the US. She's been documenting her experience of leaving a violent relationship online in real time, retelling that story just to illustrate how long it took, what kind of resources it took. Rowan has texted to say, escape from domestic violence is a critical topic. Thank you for addressing it. Men often need to escape too and face extra challenges, far fewer support organizations, less likely to be believed by police, much greater risk of being cut off from children left behind forever. Well, Ruth, we're telling your story today. Talking through, you mentioned that there had been violence earlier. It was that moment with the weapon that really brought it home to you that this was a relationship you needed to exit. Did you recognize those signs of abuse while they were happening to you?
I recognized the signs, but I didn't call it abuse in my mind. I didn't call it abuse until months after I had actually gotten out of the relationship. I was literally packing my things in boxes and still unsure if I was really in an abusive relationship or not, because those signs are so subtle. And even when my ex was violent, it was such a difficult thing for me to wrap my brain around that I had ended up in an abusive relationship.
It's pretty eye-opening, Ruth, watching your videos. You're so articulate. You're so great at explaining yourself. You're obviously such an incredibly strong person. And it really showed me what kind of unconscious biases I think I had, even though I've looked into this before. You sort of just go, it happened to her? How's that possible?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to speak to sort of some of those biases that come through when you're having conversations with people?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many biases, and we all have this kind of stereotype of what an abusive relationship really looks like. And the image that I see a lot is sort of a pretty white woman kind of balled up in a corner as someone advances on them with violence. And it's really not like that. I mean, abuse can impact literally anyone. Personally, I have my PhD. I was working full-time and very successful in my field, and I had friends, family, in theory, resources, and it still happened to me. It can literally happen to anyone. And that's why those stereotypes can be so harmful in a lot of ways, because it makes it so hard to realize when it's happening to you.
What kind of responses have you had from people because of sharing this journey online?
I've had some really good responses from sharing this. And the thing that I hear the most and that makes me the most happy to hear is when someone says, this helped me recognize that I am in an abusive relationship, or this helped me understand that I can get out. And that's something I never expected to be a part of when I started sharing this. And it's something I feel so much gratitude to have been able to share and to give that support to other people like me who needed it. Every single thing I share for the version of me who needed it 3, 5, 10 years ago. Mm. And I'm really glad that these can help the people who are still in it.
Well, also here with me is Dr. Elizabeth McClendon, a research fellow at the University of Melbourne focused on family and domestic violence. Elizabeth also works as a senior sexual assault counsellor at the Royal Women's Hospital. Liz, listening to Ruth's experience, how much is this resonating with other stories you hear from victim survivors in Australia?
Hi, and lovely to meet both of you. Thanks for having me. It is resonating really strongly with so many victim survivors that I've worked with over the years. And with what the research tells us about how complicated relationships where there is abuse are, how subtly it can start, and how difficult it can be to leave. But I just want to acknowledge how important and powerful it is to share lived experience. And I want to thank Ruth for that, because I know from having spoken to so many survivors that often hearing other people's stories, other survivor stories, and the moment that they recognized sometimes that they needed to leave and what it took for them to leave, it's so galvanizing. It can be the thing that helps a survivor make the break to get closer to safety.
Ruth, how long did it take, and what resources did you need to be able to exit?
The escape plan that I'm sharing right now took me 7 months from start to finish, but I will also say it was not my first escape plan. I had 2 prior attempts at escape that did not work prior to the one I'm sharing now. And the resources, the biggest ones were financial. I had no access to my own money, even though I was working full time. And that was one of the biggest things I had to figure out in order to get myself out.
Liz, how does that correlate with what you see in your work?
Yeah, I mean, the financial aspect of leaving is an enormous barrier. We know that the social and emotional aspects of leaving are enormous barriers too, you know, imagine, and Ruth is talking about this and has documented this, having to leave your comfort, your security, your community often, and those of your children. But the perhaps even more significant barrier for many women is the safety risk of leaving. We know from women's stories and we know from coroner's reports that the most dangerous time for a woman in her abusive relationship is in the context of leaving. That in the context of leaving, a woman in an abusive relationship is most likely to be seriously hurt or killed. So when women tell us that they fear for their safety, that they're not able to leave, that it's a really complicated, difficult decision that they might attempt many times before making a final exit, it's for lots of reasons, including that it's just not safe.
What do we know about the prevalence here in Australia, Liz?
Of intimate partner and family violence?
Yes.
We know that in the last 12 months, somewhere around 4.5% of women will be talking about a relationship where there is psychological, physical, and or sexual abuse. In a woman's adult lifetime, somewhere between 1 in 3 and 1 in 5 women will experience intimate partner violence. For women who grew up in homes where there was violence as children, between their parents or directed towards them, they're 2 to 3 times more likely to have a relationship in adulthood where there's abuse. So this is a really common issue in our community. And just like you were kind of speaking about a little bit with Ruth earlier, this is an issue that affects all segments of our society. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you've studied. It doesn't matter what suburb you live in. There are higher prevalence rates associated with disadvantage and not having control over your life, but it is an issue for all of us in our community.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor with Ruth, who has been sharing her experience of leaving an abusive marriage in real time on social media, and Dr. Elizabeth McClendon, a researcher investigating family and domestic violence at the University of Melbourne, talking about the practicalities of leaving an unsafe relationship and the reality of just how long they can actually take. You're telling me your stories. Alice says, when I was ready to leave my marriage, two friends who'd worked in the DV sector asked me what my escape plan was. When I said he wouldn't hurt me, they said the leaving moment was the most dangerous. That's when coercive control and psychological abuse turns to violence. They made a plan for me. Alice says, I'm 3 years out now and understand the abuse in ways I never did inside the marriage. Ruth, that idea of deciding to leave, that step one was a really important step for you. Can you talk me through that?
Yeah, the step one is really important because that is the step on which every other one is built. And I say it's really important because that is exactly what was missing when I tried to escape before this escape plan happened. I had no real moment where I had really decided that I was done and I was ready to leave. And that step, that making the commitment to myself that I needed to get out and I was going to get out, was what allowed me to do every other step that ultimately did get me out of the marriage.
Liz, you did some research in 2025 that looked at the timeline of intimate partner violence. What did that study find?
We did a study with just over 800 Australian women who had been in an abusive relationship recently, and broadly that study was nationally representative. And we asked women to, on a blank timeline, place abusive behaviours that they had experienced in the approximate order in which they first emerged. We wanted to understand what are the early warning signs of abuse and what behaviours often come later. And we also asked women to put on that timeline important events in their life that might have happened before or after certain behaviours. What we found is exactly what women had been through interviews and in smaller studies telling us for decades. And had been talking to each other about long before even researchers. And that was that the early warning signs are things like being isolated from family and friends, being separated from other people who might form strong connections with you and might be able to give insight into what they're seeing. And that can be really subtle. That can be comments like, oh, I don't really want you to go out this weekend and see your family for lunch. I miss you. I feel like I haven't seen much of you, and I was really hoping we'd spend time together. It can be things that are hard to call out. The second most common early warning sign that in retrospect women saw as abusive was being controlled, being a kind of hard to discern set of rules introduced into the relationship, where maybe you can wear certain things but not others. You can behave in public in a certain way but not in another way, and that if you transgress over that unspoken rule book, there'll be punishment or there'll be ice from your partner, being iced out. And then the verbal abuse might start. But really interestingly, what we found is that for those survivors whose relationship had included physical or sexual abuse, those types of abuse were introduced well after all of the psychologically abusive behaviours had been introduced, and usually after a major life commitment had been made, like moving in together or having a baby, when actually it's a lot harder to leave a relationship even when there is physical violence.
Ruth, how does that land for you listening to that kind of escalator that Liz is describing?
That's actually very interesting to me, Liz, that you would say that, because the first time I remember my ex-husband being physical with me was just after we got engaged, 1 week after we got engaged. So that really struck a chord with me, as you said. That kind of behavior often happens after there's some sort of commitment. But I was exactly the same way with what you described. All of the signs of psychological, emotional abuse were there, but I didn't see them until well after there were other things going on in the relationship that were much, much more intense.
You're sharing such heartfelt stories with me this morning. Jane says, my experience was the opposite of Dr. Ruth's. I stayed after a threat with a weapon, but eventually left when my then partner proposed marriage. It was the final straw. I knew that there was no way I could commit to forever, so why was I staying another single day? Another says, it took me 19 years to escape, despite being well-educated and having a wonderful family. I told no one until years later. After a marriage, we immediately went overseas for 3 years with a shared bank account, no family or friends, so no way of getting out. And the pattern of control was firmly established. Violence was occasional, but the mental control was constant. Eggshells all the time. I now advise everyone I think is being abused or controlled to leave immediately. And sort of a question, I suppose, that I'd love to get both of your thoughts on. This text says, could you speak on other people not believing or understanding or saying it was mutual abuse based on what the abuser says? I left during pregnancy and have been going through post-separation abuse in the years since, including from his new partner and family. I'll also say that what made the biggest difference in the years since leaving was being financially stable in myself. Unfortunately, that might change now going through the court system. Liz, what do you say to this idea of just outside perceptions of what's happening?
That they make a huge difference, and that if you're not in an abusive relationship yourself, you almost certainly know someone who is, and you can be an incredibly powerful support or not to them. So the way that someone is responded to when they make a really courageous and scary choice to share their experience, it really matters and determines how comfortable that person feels telling another person, how comfortable they might feel accessing help. We know from research that the most likely people to receive that first disclosure, that first conversation that something's not right, is a friend or a family member. And that person being believed, being told that they can understand the pain and the difficulty that there might be there for the survivor, and that really importantly, they want to be supportive. They don't want to make decisions for the survivor. They don't want to tell them what to do. They want to listen to what's needed and be there no matter what. that can make all of the difference.
Ruth, you're sharing this, you're really putting yourself out there on social media. Briefly, what do you hope people take away from your story?
I think the biggest thing I hope people take away when they see my story is that abuse can truly happen to anyone, and that getting out of it is a long, difficult, terrifying process. And I just like to echo what you said, that if you have not been in an abusive relationship, you probably know someone who has. And I think having empathy and compassion for someone else's journey is the most important thing that I want someone to take away.
Ruth, Liz, thank you both so much for sharing with me today. Dr. Ruth is a survivor of abuse based in the US. She's been documenting her own experience of leaving a violent relationship online. Dr. Elizabeth McClendon is a research fellow investigating family and domestic violence at the University of Melbourne and a senior sexual assault counsellor at the Royal Women's Hospital. And look, I can imagine this chat might have raised issues for you. There is help available. You can contact 1-800-RESPECT, 1-800-737-732, or Full Stop Australia, 1-800-385-578. They are two national confidential support lines. They run 24/7. Give them a ring if you need help.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.